Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the baptism of our Lord. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. We will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and talk about the sacrament of baptism. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
With all the noise, busyness, and messages of every sort we are bombarded with each minute of every day, it's often hard to stop, concentrate, and focus on communicating with God. Our Lady of Corpus Christi is hosting a Women's St. Ignatius Silent Retreat Weekend beginning Thursday, January 17th at the OLCC Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana in Corpus Christi. This is a process for those who have said yes to know Jesus and are seeking to learn deeper prayer and revelations from sacred scripture. The retreat is led by Father Dan Estes and other members of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, assisted by Deacon Bob Allen and supported by the Diaconate. For more information, visit deepprayer.org or call 289-9095. Come learn what it means to be in silence with God.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I had a little trouble with some of these allergies, and so I think you can still hear a little bit of it in my voice. But anyway, we'll try to get through this session coughless, cough-free.
When it blows in, it seems to affect you, and we've been having a lot of wind lately.
I'm like the lightning pole for it.
Bless your heart. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, we have a gospel that, even though it's from St. Luke, we hear in so many different forms, but the theme is just the same, and it's a beautiful, beautiful gospel. And it really changes the focus in the ministry of St. John the Baptist that we had had for so many weeks now to the ministry of Jesus.
Right, and of course, we recognize that all along, John the Baptist is the precursor, the one who goes before. And even in this scene at the Jordan with the baptism, he again is drawing people. And I think we, you know, could just ask, why were they coming to John anyway? Obviously, life is never what it's cracked up to be, and people have a conscience. People see that there are evils and ills in the world, and sometimes they affect the person themselves. They live in a certain darkness. And so John offered something. He offered them to come forward and plunge themselves into water, not just to cleanse them physically, but to cleanse them from their sins. So John's baptism is really a call to a conversion of life, to put behind a life of sin. The interesting thing is the fact that Jesus was there in this scene, and that he too submitted himself to John for the baptism. We know that, obviously, and of course, that he did not sin, right. Was not born with sin, came, in fact, to redeem us from sin. But it's interesting that he submits himself to this ritual of John, when John himself is trying to point others to Jesus, Jesus himself presents himself for this baptism. Throughout this session, I'd like to refer to some of the articles and things that are in our catechism, on, and especially in this one on baptism. In number 1224, it speaks about this event of Jesus coming to the baptismal waters. And what it says here is, our Lord voluntarily submitted himself to the baptism of John, intended for sinners, in order to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus' gesture is a manifestation of his self-emptying. Wow. That's an important part of our understanding of this, that he emptied himself, which we see in the letter to the Ephesians, in that great hymn in the second chapter. The Spirit, who had hovered over the waters of the first creation, descended now on Christ as a prelude of the new creation, and the Father revealed Jesus as his beloved Son. So we see here in Jesus' part of participating in this baptism of John, first of all, his self-emptying.
Right.
That he was willing to, as he came down from heaven. St. Paul, again, in the letter to the Ephesians in the second chapter, says that he emptied himself and took the form of a slave. Jesus was never afraid to identify with us, as he was never afraid to identify with sinners. And so to come to a baptismal rite such as John's was for sinners. And he wasn't admitting, I've sinned, but he was coming to say, I've come to redeem you from all sin. I've come as your mediator, as your priest, as your Lord and Savior. And this is the self-emptying is really at the heart of service. And so Jesus came to serve us in the name of God. So that's one thing. But then also enters the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. St. John says, John the Baptist says that, I baptize you with water, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So here we have the Spirit, which, as the Catechism says, is the same Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that is the relationship between the Father and the Son, which hovered over creation at the beginning, that the Spirit, this breath of God, which creates, is now present in this event with Jesus, pointing to him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in other places, listen to him. And so that Spirit is the creative Spirit of the new creation, a recreation. So all this is going to be important in understanding baptism. It's not just the pouring of water. Mm-hmm. It's the coming of the Spirit to give us new life. And so it's a dual role that we see there, the prelude of the new creation. And so this is really the amplification or the really understanding of this scene of why Jesus came, to enter into our life, to lead us to his life, and with the grace of the Holy Spirit to show us that this is the way, this is the one to follow, this is the one John is pointing to.
So to talk about what you were just talking about, the difference between the baptisms, John's baptisms were with water, and Jesus' baptisms were with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Well, John, we would say more accurately, John's baptism was for the remission of sins, to come and be cleansed, because we still use water.
Right.
But with that, and that's, we're going to, in a moment, in one of our little segments here, be able to talk about the blessing of the baptismal water. Sometimes these things, they go by so fast at Mass, we don't really hear the symbolism that's in the Word. So, yes, water is used in both, obviously. But
right.
What Jesus adds is the one who is God, and the Holy Spirit is there through him. He's the one that brings us that the Holy Spirit, so that we not only are cleansed from sin, period, amen, no. The Holy Spirit then opens us to a life of grace, to a new beginning, to live life. John's could have been a repeated baptism in the sense I go back, and every time I sin, I have to go back, as we do to confession. I mean, our right. practice of the sacrament of penance, of reconciliation, of confession, is to continue living in that life of grace that we receive from baptism, to be re-cleansed in a new, to set off on a new path with, of course, hopefully the promise to not fall into these sins again.
Right.
But it's there for us as a part, as an extension of our baptism.
Right. I had asked you, Bishop, and maybe share this with our listeners, that on this particular Sunday, will we go through the sprinkling of the water?
Well,
you know,
certainly,
would the priests do that like they've done on Easter, you know, when we talk about, you know, renewal of our baptism?
Right. It's one of our options for the penitential rite. And, of course, we try to reserve that during Lent because the great baptismal moment is Easter when we have to. We're called
right.
to all renew our baptismal promises and to be cleansed, sprinkled in the waters of baptism again that have been blessed at the Easter Vigil. But certainly even today it's permissible that the priests would use blessed water as symbolically to go through the church and sprinkle people with that the saving waters of baptism as a symbol for this day of the baptism of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So it may happen.
It
some
may
churches
happen,
and it may not.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to go through some of the names or some of the things that are associated with baptism, which again come from our catechism. And beginning with number 1214, where the Catechism says, "The sacrament is called baptism after the central rite by which it is carried out. That is, to baptize means to plunge, to immerse, to plunge into the waters, symbolizing the catechumen's burial into Christ's death, from which he rises up by resurrection with him as new creation." So the whole meaning of baptism, I mean, again, you see the symbolism of the pouring of water or the immersion. During the Easter Vigil, of course, we usually use immersion now, but also some parishes immerge babies and things. But at least the pouring of water is a plunging into an immersion into the cleansing waters of baptism, which symbolize, what does the water symbolize? Not only the cleansing, but entering into the death chamber with Christ,
wow.
you know, as he descended into the depths of the earth through his own death in order to rise. And so when a person is immersed, that person also comes out. The baptismal waters that are poured also has that same symbolism to enter into Christ's death and his resurrection. St. Paul says it beautifully in the letter to the Romans that those who have died with Christ in the waters of baptism will rise with him. Again, this shows us the distinction between John's baptism, that it's not just to forgive sin and that's it, but it's to rise to a new grace-filled life. And there are some other names or other significances that we can speak of after our break regarding the baptismal waters and the experience of baptism.
We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on baptism. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Each of us has been selected by God to pursue a particular vocation in life. Some of us are called to married life, some to single life, and some to religious life, be it clergy or as a consecrated religious. The Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament offer single women ages 17 to 30 the opportunity to discover their particular calling at a vocation discernment retreat, April 26th through 28th. Young women can spend a weekend at the Mother House on South Alameda and consider the possibility of a vocation to the consecrated life. For complete information on this retreat, call Sister Anna Maria Espinosa at 774-4910. You may also visit their website, iwbscc.org. Perhaps it's time to find out what God is asking you to do.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about the different titles and the different understandings of baptism, and you've been looking at the catechism and the definitions that are there, which is, of course, the catechism is a wonderful tool
right.
for all of us.
Yeah, that darn clock catches us every time. We have to take a break.
Yes, it does.
Anyway, thanks for bringing it back to that. Just to continue reflecting a bit with the catechism, we see in 1215, the next article, it says the sacrament is also called quote, the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, for it signifies and actually brings about the birth of water and the Spirit, without which no one can enter the kingdom of God. So, again, the pouring of the water, the plunging, the symbolism of entering into Christ's life. The second, then, is that washing and regeneration in the Holy Spirit, that we need the Holy Spirit. We have to live by the Spirit. So the whole Paschal mystery is dying with Christ, rising with Christ, and then living life as a journey, as a pilgrimage in the Holy Spirit. So what does the Spirit do? Reminds us of all that He told us, gives us the power and the strength and the fortitude, the wisdom to live what Christ told us. So that's why we talk about the Word of Life and the Gospel so much. Mm-hmm. The Eucharist is there to feed us on this journey of faith. This is all the action of the Holy Spirit. We see it at Mass when the priest holds his hands over the gifts of bread and wine, calling the Holy Spirit to come upon these, to transform the gifts of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. It's that same Spirit that's calling us to a transformation of life, living out that gospel on a daily basis. So baptism is this introduction into Christ, and then also the Holy Spirit guiding us through life in responding to every situation, sorrowful, difficult, happy, whatever, to live according to His Spirit.
I sometimes think when I've used this term before, moral compass, and sometimes I guess the Holy Spirit can be our moral compass. When we're right at a crossroads and we're not quite sure, the Holy Spirit will guide us on which way we're supposed
right.
to go.
Some will say, listen to the little voice that's inside
so
of you.
True.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to overreact. We react. We use our own standards of how we respond to something. All we're called to do with this is to say, as you say, a moral compass. We've got something more inside of us than just our head.
Right.
And listening to that little voice of the Spirit, which will say, do this, don't do this, say this, hold your tongue. If we lived, as many of the saints would say, lived within where the Holy Spirit dwells, and then lived on the outside and expressed ourselves that way, then it's Christ working in and through us. Many times we don't pay attention to that.
Don't pay attention to that voice.
Right, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
The next article speaks of this bath is also called enlightenment, because those who receive this instruction, this preparation for baptism, are enlightened in their understanding. And having received in baptism the Word, the true light that enlightens every person, the person baptized has been enlightened and becomes a child of the light. Now, I don't know if you've picked up on this. I don't know when the last time you were at a baptism.
Easter.
At Easter. Look at the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
The symbolism of the water, which we've spoken of. The symbolism of a white garment, which is a garment of cleansing, of a new life, entering into Christ's life, the baptismal garment. The symbolism of the chrism oil, which is this new creation, that I have become a new creation in Christ, and the candle, you are enlightened
right.
by Christ. These are powerful symbols. Again, and this is, you know, get me started on a roll here, but this year of faith is to try to bring out the true meaning of all of these things, not just to take them for granted. Our faith is expressed in symbols. And so all of these symbols have deeper meaning than just here's a candle, you know, lit from
lighted and hold it up.
Lighted from the baptismal candle. But this is your light. This child, this adult has been enlightened by Christ. Walk as a child of the light. That's part of the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Walk as a child of the light. Be different. Dispel the darkness that's around you, in front of you. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. This is all the baptismal commissioning to it. I don't hope my friends at the McConnell Unit, I just get so impressed by their strong faith. I hope they don't mind me saying this, but we had a couple of baptisms there back in December before Christmas. And, you know, I was saying to them, now you can just sit on the sidelines like everyone else, or even here, in an incarcerated, restricted area, you're the light. You're Christ's light. But all of us are, whether it's at work or at home, at school, in our families or among strangers, we walk as children of the light. We walk as the salt of the earth to make a difference. This is what it means to be enlightened mm-hmm. by Christ. Christ is in us, and that's our baptismal call to bring Christ to others.
I have this visual of walking in the light, and if everybody did that,
there'd
be no darkness.
There wouldn't be.
There would be no darkness.
With temptation, unfortunately, people give in to the darkness and overwhelmed by the darkness of life. But this is the call of the baptized person, and how strong this reality of baptism is, but perhaps relatively unnoticed in our life, as though it's some historical event. Mm-hmm. But it's always present to us. We have to walk with that dignity. St. Leo the Great used to say, "Oh, Christian, remember your dignity." If we thought of that every morning as we mm-hmm. got up, whether we're happy, we're sad, we're a little bit depressed, "Oh, Christian, remember your dignity." And we walk with that dignity. This is what would really make a beautiful difference in our world today and wherever we are.
And everybody can have that dignity no matter what their state in life is.
Right. Sure.
And you talk about the prisoners. I mean,
sure.
They can have dignity, too, even though they're incarcerated
They do certainly have that, as we all do. And so it's just remembering that we are baptized and we walk in that dignity of life. One thing I wanted to, before we conclude here this morning, is just to look at some of the language that is in the blessing of the baptismal water, because we're celebrating the feast of the baptism of the Lord, Jesus entering into the baptismal waters with his humility and submission to this. But why water, and what is the symbol of water throughout the sacred scripture, through Revelation? And the baptismal rite, as we bless the water, kind of reviews the presence of water throughout the sacred scriptures. And just some of it here. It says at the beginning of the prayer over the water, calling the Holy Spirit upon the water, it says, "Father, you give us grace through sacramental signs, which tell us the wonders of your unseen power." So all sacramental signs, whether it is one of the seven sacraments, the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Christ, the baptismal water, the chrism, the married couple, these sacramental signs tell us the wonders of what's unseen. Mm-hmm. What's unseen? In baptism, to be particular, we use the gift of water, which you have made a rich symbol of the grace you give us in the sacrament. So that's what we talked about earlier, the grace of being cleansed, the grace of regeneration in Christ, the grace of being a light. Water represents all that. And then at the very beginning of creation, your Spirit breathed on the waters, making them the wellspring of holiness. Rich symbolism that goes back to the very beginning. The waters of the great flood, you made a sign of the waters of baptism, which make an end of sin and a new beginning of goodness. We see this in Noah's Ark, that washing away of all that was evil. You freed the children of Abraham from slavery, the slavery of Pharaoh, bringing them dry shod, protected, you might say, through the waters of the Red Sea to be an image of God's holy people set free from sin by baptism. So not only to free us from sin, but to free us in the imagery of the Exodus from the slavery to sin. All of these things are part of that that blessing, which brings to us the reality of who we are. This is where our dignity is, and this is what we're called to, and especially to recollect and to remember and to celebrate on this day of the Lord's baptism.
So if our listeners want to read more about baptism, and they can do this online, or if they have a copy of the Catechism, it starts with chapter 12:14. And then they can read through.
Right. It actually is in that part two where it speaks of the celebrating the Christian mysteries, and mm-hmm. it's the seven sacraments. So the prelude to all that begins actually at 12:10. I was going to say it's mm-hmm. a big hop for one page.
Right.
But on number 12:10, you begin speaking of the sacraments in general, and then the first of the sacraments, the sacraments of initiation, beginning with baptism, following.
So it might be a good exercise for us for the year of faith.
During the year of faith, yeah.
Go through this, and I mean, there's a lot to learn in the catechism, but we can take it bit by bit and really reflect on it.
I mean, I think it's the real challenge this year when we say, I believe this. We should know what we're saying, I believe in. I mean, this is the renewal we're asked, part of the renewal that we're asked to have is to be able to identify and to articulate what we believe. And just kind of going through it myself right now, expanding that notion of a baptism, to incorporate that into my own life, for each of us to incorporate this into our own life is really a renewal for the year of faith.
Right. Right. And that'll help us with evangelization if we can be able to explain our faith.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Lord God, you have sent your Son to open the gates of life and the gates of eternity to each one of us. As he was baptized in the Jordan, he identified with us in all things but sin. And he calls us to a new life in himself. Help us to recognize the beauty of our own baptism, so that we may be renewed in faith, hope, and in love, and strengthened to serve you in your church. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.